Okay, we are going to continue today in the book of Romans. I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Again, my heart and my thinking here in handling the book of Romans is it's not an exhaustive look. It's not in great detail. Rather, it is to sort of show the scope of the book of Romans and to point some things out that really you, according to your hunger, can get in and work. Because there are some great treasures in the book of Romans that you can work. We could spend a year doing this. But really, I just kind of want to offer a scope of this gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. And, hopefully, as you listen to these, if you do listen to the teachings, you'll get that. You'll see the scope and how God just builds. Today, we're going to look at Romans 6. Earlier this week, I handled Romans 5, which is its own section. And in Romans 5, you know, what we see is we go from dead, destined for wrath, to alive, boasting in hope of the glory of God. From falling short of the glory of God to boasting in the glory of God. Isn't that something? We go from the death to eternal life. From the condemnation of Adam to justification of life. And all those things were brought about by the man, Jesus Christ. And he paid that price. And what you see in the latter half of Romans 5, beginning in verse 12... It's the reason for all the great grace and the gift of God. And the reason is our deliverance, for the deliverance of mankind. See, God's justice. And Romans 6 continues, but brings some things a little more into focus. We'll see some things regarding identification. In Romans 5, and we're going to look at it briefly, but you can look at it in great detail. Jimmy Nichols did a wonderful little teaching on newness of life. We're not going to take an exhaustive look at that, but you can. But what we see in Romans 5 is that newness of life, that life that's talked about. In Romans 6... it brings it a little more into focus to how to walk in it, to walk in that newness of life. See? So, we're going to begin in chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in," and it should read, "thus in," "shall we continue in the sin that grace may abound?" It's kind of the opposite of what Romans 5 closed with. Right? Romans 5:21 read that as the sin hath reigned or ruled in the death, is what it should read, even so might the grace reign or rule, hold kingly sway through righteousness or justification unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? So we have this life, this eternal life, and verse 1 opens up with, so do we continue in the sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't even let it be said. Don't even think about it. How shall we that are dead? Now there's something being introduced here. It's kind of neat. How shall we that are dead to the sin live any longer therein? We're dead to the sin. We were dead without spirit. Now we're dead to the sin. The sin and the death is what ushered in the problem, right? That was the condemnation of Adam. Now, wham, we're dead to the what? To the sin. How shall we live any longer therein? Verse 3. And this is going to start bringing it into focus here. Know ye not, don't you know this? That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. See? What is it to be baptized in Jesus Christ or into Jesus Christ? That's right. To be born from above, to confess Jesus as Lord, to believe that God raised him from the dead. And then, and we're going to read a little bit more about that as we go here, you receive something. You receive spirit. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, it's saying something here. Don't you know that those of us who are baptized in Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we, and it should read were, we were buried with him by baptism into death. We were buried with him. When Christ died, we died with him. See, it's starting to come into focus here. I don't know if you remember, but at the end of Romans 4, he was raised when we were justified. All was accomplished. See? He paid the price. He paid the price. He bore the sins of many, of all, paying the price. When he died, we died with him. And then it says that like as Christ, like this, was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in what? We should walk in newness of life. In Christ, you know, in the death, we were dead spiritually. We were in darkness and headed for wrath. In Christ, we are alive spiritually and dead to the sin. This newness of life is the life that's referred to in chapter 5. Okay? It's referred to in Romans 5 as the gift of grace. Or the gift of the grace. And that word gift is the same gift that's spoken of in Acts chapter 2:38. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to as many as call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon Jesus Christ, that gift of Holy Spirit. It's the gift that's mentioned in Acts 10 when Cornelius received Holy Spirit. It's the gift mentioned in Acts 11 when Peter comes before the council and says, hey, they received a like gift as us. That's that newness of life. That gift of grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it's referred to as the unspeakable gift. It's God's unspeakable gift. That's right. And that gift of grace, it says in Romans 5, is from from the condemnation of Adam. The condemnation of Adam was that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
That day. Dying, thou shalt die. That day, he died. He lost spirit, lost his connection with God. Man was dead. He was dead. Body and soul. That's all he had. Body and soul. No access to God. No connection to God. Dead. Five senses. All he had. Five senses. Desires of the flesh. Nothing else. He was dead. And that's what God promised to deliver man from. And the free gift, that gift of grace, is from that condemnation of Adam. And men now can have spirit. And once again be alive. Newness of life. It's the opposite of the death that was brought about by Adam, and it's the gift of the Spirit that was shed abroad in our hearts, which is also mentioned in Romans chapter 5. Here, in Romans 6, it is to walk in that newness of life. We walk in it. And that's where we're headed. Because of that newness of life, we have access to God. We've been delivered from darkness, which is five senses, limited to the five senses, and the desires of the flesh, and that which I could put together by my five senses. We've been delivered from darkness into light. That's newness of life. Light. See? We're turned from idols, things that we call gods, things that we look up to as gods, things that we're ignorant of or afraid of or in awe of, to serve the living and true God. See? Newness of life. That's newness of life. And we're going to see this, I'm not that man anymore. I can't be, because I have spirit now. I have spirit. And what God is encouraging me to do here is to walk by that Spirit, is to walk in that newness of life. And it was all paid for by my Lord Jesus Christ. What's so beautiful about what we're reading and what we're seeing here and in this identification, I don't sanctify myself, or I don't, by good works, achieve my identification with Christ. I'm already identified with Christ. So I am now free from the ordinances of men, to measure myself against the ordinances of men, or to measure myself against what people think, or to measure myself against religious dogma, or any of these things. Any of the ordinances of the flesh, I am now free to walk with my Heavenly Father. As my Father works in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm free. Isn't that awesome? Because I've been released from the condemnation of Adam. I'm not that man anymore. I can't be that man anymore. I can't be. I've got spirit. Now, I could choose to not walk in newness of life, but I'm still not that man anymore. And I would not be living who I am. And that's what we're going to begin reading about here. See? That identification with Christ. So we walk in newness of life. That new life. Verse 5. For if we have been identified, united. The word planted is that word united or identified. Together, united together. I like that word, united. United together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. that the body of sin, or the body of the sin, might be destroyed or rendered inactive or thrown in the unemployment line. That henceforth we should not serve the sin. For he that is dead is freed from the sin. That we don't serve the sin. Look at the sin is what ushered in the death. I'm not dead anymore. You understand? Life's not the same. I'm not dead. I've got spirit. I've got access to God. I've got access to God's knowledge, to God's insight. I've got access to God's word. I'm not the same man anymore. He works in me. He works in you. I am not a slave or a servant to the sin because I've been freed from it. And its results, which is the death. I'm not dead. I have spirit. I'm alive. You're alive. Prior to my being alive, prior to my having spirit, I had no choice but to serve the sin and the result of that sin, which was the death. All I had was desires of the flesh. All I had was this life. That's all I got. It's all there is. You get one shot. And so I live in light of dying as a dead man anyway. But that's not who I am anymore. And neither are you. You see it? We're free. I've got spirit. It's not by works of the flesh. The flesh is dead. The old man's dead. The body of sin is dead. You can't change it. Forget it. God says, forget it. And we're going to read that. Forget it. You got spirit. Forget it. You're not under law. You couldn't do law anyway. Forget it. Your spirit. You got it. You're set. You've got eternal life. Now enjoy the relationship that you can have with me. That's what we're talking about here. See? Didn't mean to yell. For he that is dead is freed from the sin, or justified from the sin. You've been justified from the sin because you believed on Jesus Christ, who paid the price. You have no price to pay, so stop trying to pay it. Stop condemning yourself to pay some kind of stupid price that Jesus Christ already paid. You understand? You've been freed from that. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And you know you're dead with Christ because you've got spirit. Isn't that awesome? That eternal life spirit. You know, and that's that much more in Romans 5. This is eternal life. What Jesus Christ wrought for us is much more. It's way, way out of proportion to what Adam lost. That's what that much more is. I think it's in, I forget what verses, 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. Much more than. It's more than what Adam lost. When this is all said and done, see, when it's all said and done, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. No more dominion over him. For in that he died unto the sin once. But in that he liveth unto who? He lives unto God. See? He died unto the sin. He paid the price. Doesn't have to deal with it. Done. Now he lives unto God. You know. We're going to see as we get later into Romans, this comes up more. There's a
Keep your finger here. Let's look at a verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, and it should read since Christ is in you, and the body is dead, or is indeed dead, because of sin, but the Spirit is what? Life. See? Because of righteousness or justification. And that's that standard for justice. God's standard for justice. There's another great one too. Galatians. Let's look at that real quick. See, these are just things we can work and really build these truths that we're seeing here. In verse 20, Galatians 2, verse 20. I am or was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the believing of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, that free gift of grace. I do not frustrate that free gift of grace. I don't think little of that free gift of grace, that gift of Spirit. I don't frustrate it by trying to perfect my flesh. See? Now let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 6. And this verse 11 is it's what's called an imperative. And it's command-like. And the context of this imperative is walking in newness of life. If I'm going to walk in newness of life, it is imperative that I do this in verse 11. And that is to reckon likewise, or just like this, just like what we read in 10, which is that he died unto the sin, but he lives unto who? When Jesus Christ died, we what? We died with him. When he was raised, we what? Just like this, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto the sin, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ. That's what it reads. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. We're alive unto God in Jesus Christ. See? That's how we're to think. That's how we're to see ourselves. This is imperative if we're going to walk in newness of life. I see myself in Christ. That's how I see myself. That's how I think. With my Father working in me to will and do of his good pleasure. Walking in that newness of life. Verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. That word reign, again, is, you know, kingly sway, to rule. Don't let the sin rule in your mortal body. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? Why would I want to live as somebody who doesn't have Spirit? Who has no hope? Why would I want to live somebody who's in darkness? It doesn't even make sense. Because I'm not that man anymore. I've got Spirit. So do you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts of the desires thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto the sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See? You know, God is concerned about our lives. There are places in the Word that talk about sanctifying yourselves, sanctifying the Lord Christ, how that God has sanctified you. I don't live and think as the world does, because I'm not of the world. That's sanctified. I can love where others can hate. I can have insight spiritually where others are blind as bats, because of the Spirit of my God and because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I can get sucked into the darkness, into the hatred, into the backbiting, into the fears of the world. Or I can walk in light, relying on my Heavenly Father, casting my cares to Him, and walking in the freedom that's mine because of what Jesus Christ paid for me. Or die trying. See? That's a sanctified walk. But I don't, it's not that I sanctify myself to be holy or to be sanctified. I sanctify myself because God sanctified me already. I can walk a holy walk because God made me holy through Christ. Now the world will take that and look at you and say, oh, you think you're so holy. Maybe we ought to have the guts to say, you're damn right I do. Because Jesus Christ made me that way. And He can make you that way too. See? It's not about perfection. It's about Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. The freedom that's ours. And that's what Romans is building. The gospel of God concerning you. No, it's a gospel of God concerning who? His Son, Jesus Christ. Who is marked out by the resurrection from the dead. You know, later on in Romans 12, we'll see here it's talking about those instruments, yielding yourselves. And what we're really talking about here is the obedience of believing, which is what Romans opened with. In Romans 12, it's your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice, say, unto God. And we'll get to that down the road. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not subjected to the law, but under grace. The law was for those who were dead. The law was to control flesh and was a schoolmaster until that believing should come that was promised, which was Jesus Christ. What then? We're going to sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? No. That's not what we're talking about. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto what? See? The gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ for the obedience of believing unto all nations. See? I subject myself to what God has made me in Christ. Why would I subject myself to things that are controlling and trying to perfect the flesh? The flesh is what? Dead. It's dead. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from the sin, you became the servants of righteousness or justification. That standard of justice. God's standard of justice. You became servants of that. See, you were justified from the condemnation of Adam. Righteous before God. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity or lawlessness unto lawlessness, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto what?
Holiness.
Holiness. Sanctification. That's that word holiness. It's to separate yourselves. Separate yourselves out from. We've been sanctified unto God. He sanctified us in Christ. Now we sanctify ourselves living who Christ has made us. Where others hate, we love. For when you were the servants of the sin, you were free from what?
Righteousness.
Kind of a funny way to state it. What fruit had you then in those things, whereof you're now ashamed? See, I'm not that man anymore. For the end of those things is what? But now, being made free from sin, you become and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification or holiness. And the end of that is what?
Everlasting
life. And this fruit will be referred to in chapter 7, which we're not going to get to today. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See? Isn't that something? So I serve that. I see myself in light of that which God has given me, that gift of grace from the condemnation of Adam. The wages of the one is death, of the other, eternal life. See, it's just isn't it neat just to see how this builds? And then as we continue, because Romans 6 and 7 are a section. And of course that leads into Romans 8, which is a lot of fun. So, okay. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love, your grace, and for all that's been given us in Christ. Thank you for these things in His name. And that, Father, we can walk in this newness of life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.